T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Albert Breer with us now, MMQB, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Albert, lot to get to. Let's begin with some of the changes the league announced today, including the cutdown. What I thought was odd is, what is the point of cutting from 90 to 85? Why not go 90 to 80 and 80 to 70 and then 70 to 53? Why do you think they did it this way instead, Albert?
Do you want me to give you a cynical point of view?
Yes.
I know teams are thinking right now what they've got in their head, and some of the football people have in their head that, and Dustin, you may be able to relate to this,
okay,
that they don't want players at the end of the roster getting hurt at the end of the preseason, because if they do, then they got to pay them.
Right.
Yeah, good point.
Right? Like, so that fourth preseason game has always been, or now I guess third preseason game, is basically a glorified tryout. Well, if you're worried that guys at the end of the roster are going to go out there and get hurt, why don't you have less people at the end of the roster?
That's fair. I mean, if you get hurt in that last game, they put you on IR or have to have a settlement with you, and they got to pay the money. So that does make some sense.
Yeah, so, I mean, I know that's what the football people think, that the owners is another way of them, you know, protecting their bottom line. And for some of the football people, it's tough, too, because – and one of the things that I kept saying when I was talking to some of these guys was, you know, like, you don't think about it much, but, like, a lot of times that's the tape they have on guys who might be practice squad guys later in the year, who might be, you know, like, tryout guys at the end of the year on emergency lists and stuff like that. So a lot of these guys are actually kind of upset about it because they're like, this is sort of how we assemble our list at the end of the year. You know, when injuries are hitting us, like, this is how we know, like, who player X, Y, or Z is. And if you're taking that away from us, it's going to make it more difficult.
Albert Breer is with us on the hotline. Albert, all right, let's go to the Julio Jones stuff here for a minute, because this was hot the last couple days. What happened with him and Shannon Sharp, we don't know if it was legit, if it was, Julio just calling his buddy thinking he was just going to talk to his friend, or then he put it on TV. I don't know what to make of the situation. What's your overall thoughts on just what happened in the last 24 hours with Julio?
I think Julio didn't know. And there are two reasons why. Number one, I just put it this way. I don't think that Fox has been as liberal as you normally would be about letting other people use that footage or putting that footage on their own air. And that tells you that Fox sees that there's a problem there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. Number two, Julio's an incredibly private person. Now, I don't know how closely you guys have watched how he's sort of handled himself over the course of his career, but take a look at it. Like, how often has he come out and said anything at all? Like,
right.
It's just, like, I can't think of one memorable thing he's said over the course of 10 years in the NFL. There's a ton of track record there. Like, he's very private. Like, he's very to himself. And he almost never said anything publicly that would put anybody in any sort of compromising position, let alone putting himself in a compromising position, you know? And so, like, I think you add those two things together, and then you listen to the conversation, and it just sounds like, I don't know if you guys felt this way, it sounded like a casual conversation between friends.
It didn't sound like
the guy thought it was going out on national TV. And I'll just put it this way. Like, saying I'm out of here on a phone call with a buddy of yours is a lot different than saying it on national TV or knowing it's on national TV. And so from that standpoint, I feel bad for Julio, because if that's what happened, that sucks, you know, and that's going to make more athletes more hesitant to talk publicly or to trust people, you know, in these sorts of situations.
Yeah, and especially from a former athlete, like former athletes, especially of the level of Shannon Sharpe, Albert.
There's a code, man. It's like a brotherhood code.
Yeah, but beyond that, Shannon Sharpe has access to a lot more athletes than the average TV or radio host will have, because he was a good player and knows a lot of guys, and he's going to crush his credibility, and nobody's going to talk to him anymore at all. He's going to lose a lot of his connections.
Scared.
That's a really big mistake. If he did it.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I just, I don't know what the upside was for him in doing that. You know, I guess the attention, which it did get attention. There's no question about that. But I don't know, man. Like, I think in a situation like this, you would think an ex-player who's a buddy of the guy would protect him, not expose him, you know? And,
right.
Like, to just put that out there. And again, like, when a guy has a reputation that was built out over 10 years, right, and you have him, you're putting him in a position where he's exposed to doing something that comes off to everybody as way out of character, because it is out of character. I don't know, man. Like, I just don't think that that's right. And I like Shannon Sharpe. Like, I don't have any ill will against him at all. But if this is what, you know, the tea leaves are telling us it is, then I think it was really, really wrong for Julio to be put in that spot.
All right, so now that we've moved past the phone call, Julio Jones says he says he's out. He's not going back to the ATL. Where do you think he ends up, and for what?
It's a great question, and I think if somebody were offering a first round pick, then he would be on that team already, or they would have agreed to a deal to put him on that team on June 1st. And so, you know, I don't think the Falcons have gotten what they're looking for, and there are a number of reasons why. Julio. You know, part of what makes him who he is how he's fought through injuries over the years. They've always had to manage him through practice, right? And there were games where he could only run certain routes because of the foot, because of the knee. Last year, like, you know, he has a hamstring that cost him half the year. He's 32. Like, all of this doesn't seem like it's trending in the right direction. You add that to the fact that he's due $15 million lump sum in 2021, and, like, you look at the situation across the league with the cap where it is because of COVID, with cash budgets where they are because of COVID, and you can understand why the interest has been really, really limited to this point. I think at some point he gets traded for a second-round pick. Maybe it's a little more. Maybe a team throws a player in there as a sweetener. Maybe it's a two and a middle-round pick. But I think it's probably something involving a second-round pick. And, you know, the Raiders were one that makes sense to me. I don't know if they have the cash to do it. I know the Patriots have been out there. My understanding is the Patriots' interest at this point has been really tepid on Julio. The Packers would make a ton of sense, but do they change the way that they've done business forever and ever to accommodate Julio? That one would make sense to me, because that would be like the ultimate olive branch to Aaron Rodgers to get him back in. But I just don't know if the Packers would be willing to extend themselves in that way, because it's not their history to do that sort of thing. And so it's really hard to find a trade partner. To me, the one that's still, like, sort of, I guess, would make the most sense might be Tennessee, because Tennessee's cap is in order. I think they're positioned to do this sort of thing if they want to. And they do have a need, because they lost Corey Davis in the offseason. You know, but again, like, it's hard to find a team out there where you look at them and say they wouldn't have to bend over backwards to make it happen. And that's, you know, a big part of why no one's putting a one on the table right now.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, one other thing from the owners today was the difference in the players', you know, ability to do things, whether they've been vaccinated or not. Obviously, I think this is a good job by the NFL, because we all need to encourage people to get vaccinated, because it's good for your fellow man and woman. And the fact that basically, it seems like there's almost no restrictions if you get vaccinated. But if you don't, you have to test every day. It's a huge difference.
Yeah, and I think that's the way it's going to go. At least it feels that way. And it's been sort of the way they've been trending for a while now. that there was going to be one set of rules for people who are vaccinated and another set of rules for people who aren't. And if you don't want to get vaccinated, that's fine. But you have to do all the things to protect everybody else that you were doing last year. And I just know from having talked to guys what a pain in the ass that was, having to show up to the facility 45 minutes ahead of your work day to go through the testing process, to get cleared to go in the building, to wear masks everywhere, to distance, the tracking devices. You know, all of it really wore on guys over the course of the year. And so, look, I think it's going to test, like, how against getting vaccinated certain guys are. The numbers, I know, for some teams still aren't great. We've got a couple months to go before the start of training camp. It'll be interesting to see where those numbers are 2 months from now, because it feels to me, and I wish I had, like, the actual facts in front of me. It feels to me like we're getting to the point now where I think in every state in the country, if you want a vaccine and you're an adult, you can get one.
Mm-hmm. Albert, do you want to ask you about the Aaron Rodgers situation as this saga unfolds too? We've got like two with Julio and Aaron Rodgers this summer. It's kind of fun to follow what's going to happen here. Rodgers went on with Kenny Mayne, ESPN. You saw that, of course. Everyone saw it. And he rips the organization, rips the GM, front office, all that stuff. Is there any hope for this relationship to be salvaged?
I think so. I mean, the question is, like, are you going to do surgery on it, or are you going to put a Band-Aid on it? You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
If you can, I mean, like, can they make it work for 2021? Maybe. Can they make it work long-term? I think that's going to be harder. And, I mean, I think it goes back to what I was referencing a minute ago, which is I think there are two things that have been problematic here. Number one, the communication. And I think the fact that Aaron found out the way he found out about the Jordan Love pick stung, and I think he's held that with him. I think everybody who's been around Aaron Rodgers knows he's edgy. He can hold grudges, and, you know, a lot like his predecessor in Green Bay. And so they're dealing with that. And then I think the other piece of it is, I think Aaron looked around at the landscape after the championship game, looked at the other three teams that were in that round, looked at how aggressively those guys built around Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Tom Brady, and sees that as being what he's up against. And if you look at the way the Bucs kept the team together this year, you take a look at how many contracts they mortgaged and how much money they pushed forward. And how they basically took an approach that was like, hey, we'll worry about 2023 when we get there. We're going to compete for championships over the next 2 years, and we're bringing everybody back to do it. And that's been sort of antithetical to the way the Packers have done business the last 30 years. The lack of aggression is ultimately what drove a wedge between, you know, Brett Favre in the front office. I think it's happening again. And so it'll be interesting to see if the Packers are willing to bend on that, if they're willing to say, we're going to change the way we've done business forever. This really works for us to accommodate you, Aaron. We're going to lock you in for the next 2 or 3 years, give you a new contract, and you know what? We're going to start mortgaging contracts, and we're going to build for right now. And that's why I think, like, the Julio thing kind of brings up a unique opportunity here if the Packers want to do it, where they could say, we only got $2 million in cap space right now, but you know what? We're going to start mortgaging everybody's contract so we can bring Julio in. There's proof that we're changing the way we do business for you, Aaron, and we're going to keep building this way for the next couple of years. That, I think, would be the way that you solve it. Band-aiding it, I'm not sure how you band-aid it, but if you want to solve it, I think it would take that sort of approach where you're looking at it and you're saying to yourself, we're going to change the way the Packers have done business, really going back to when Ron Wolf got there in 1991.
Albert, last thing for me. I know you're a Boston guy. Kyrie's ducked Boston ever since he's left the city, and now he's claiming that if he gets booed tonight for the first time in his return, I should say, that there's potentially some race-driven comments behind it or whatever.
I'll read the exact quotes here.
Yep.
This is what he said. So I'm just looking forward to competing with my teammates, and hopefully we can just keep it strictly basketball. There's no belligerence or any racism going on, subtle racism and people yelling bleep from the crowd. But even if it is, it's part of the nature of the game, and we're just going to focus on what we can control.
Albert, your thoughts?
I want to demand an apology from you guys for not warning me about what Kyrie was really like when the Celtics traded for him a couple years ago.
He's
a weirdo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so here's the problem I think people here have with it. I think people here acknowledge the history in this city and everything else, right? But he has actively dodged playing in front of fans here for 2 years now, right? Like, he has actively avoided coming back. And now he has to come and face the music for everything that he did, for everything that he said. And this isn't about race. This is about, like, I mean, like, I can go down the list, guys. He blew up the locker room. He, like he lied. Said he wanted to play the rest of his career here. Like, and look, it's his right to do this stuff, right? But, like, he basically touched every base as far as, like, being, like, I think misleading about what he was doing, planning leaving before he left, like, at the All-Star game in 2019, you know, the whole thing. And so, like, I think the problem people here have with it is he's not getting booed because of racism. He's getting booed because he acted like a jackass, right? Like, when he comes here, like, it's fine. You can handle yourself the way you want to handle yourself. That's everybody's personal choice. But there's a price to pay for conducting yourself that way, right? And the same way any athlete gets booed when they leave a place, like, he's subject right to that. And the way he handled himself here at the end, I mean, makes him subject to, like it's worse. You know what I mean? It's just the way it is.
And he was terrible there. He's just crazy. I don't even know what else to say.
Right.
Obviously, not everybody's booing him because they're racist. That's silly. The exact quote he had didn't say that specifically. I don't have a problem with the quote because,
you know
there is a reputation. Yeah.
But you know what he's doing, right?
But there is a reputation in Boston.
That's right.
I mean,
that's 100% right. Like, and I'm not denying that reputation's there. But, like, I think it's – I mean, let's call it what it is. I think it is sort of cowardly to, like, before you finally coming back and playing in front of fans for the first time in 2 years since you left, right? And to basically say that if you boo me, you're racist. Like, that's not owning up to the way that you conducted yourself at the end, right?
Fair, yes.
I mean, like, Albert, that's the thing is, like, so that to me is, like, that to me is the disconnect here. If he had left, like, in a different way, okay, like, maybe you handle that, but, like, maybe you look at it a different way. But the way he left here and the way he, like, sort of conducted himself at the end, like, any athlete who conducted themselves that way on the way out would get booed into the Atlantic Ocean.
That's correct.
I don't care who
That's
it
correct.
Is. You know what I mean?
No doubt. No doubt. Albert, good stuff, man. Thanks for joining us as always.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Scott.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.